One of Mom's favorite musicals was Jesus Christ Superstar. When she heard that the Broadway hit Godspell was coming to Greenville, she decided to go and find out if it was anything like her old favorite Jesus Christ Superstar. After seeing the audience filled with young families and children, she decided it was just what was needed to reach young people with the gospel of Jesus. Part 5, Godspell. I saw Godspell in the 1970s when it first came out. I watched it in the Warehouse Theater in Greenville, a tiny, intimate theater above a law office near the old auditorium. Now it is 30 years later. The theater and the auditorium are gone. In its place is a new arena built for the local hockey team called the Greenville Growl. The building is called the Bilo Center and is named for the local grocery chain, sometimes referred to as the Doghouse. I prefer the term Bilo Barn. Godspell was not performed in the barn. It had the honor of playing in our Peace Center, the upscale arena with soft seats. My husband and I bought tickets and looked forward to the Sunday afternoon performance. I had read a couple of reviews after purchasing the tickets and was almost ready to back out. Ann Hicks of the Greenville News complained about the noise level and techno props. My daughter Susie told me, "Mom, you'll like it. The TV sets were really great and kept my attention." TV sets? Yes, TV sets. Dozens of them as a backdrop. I went, deciding to have an open mind. I knew it wouldn't be 1973 again. It wasn't, but the song sounded the same, and the gospel message was the same gospel according to Matthew, right out of the Revised Standard Version. We were surrounded by families with young children who paid the same dear price I did. Two teenage boys next to me fiddled with their cell phones, making calls before the show began. I didn't have to be the bad guy to tell them to shut them off. The announcer did that for me. "Turn off your beepers and cell phones and put away noisy candy wrappers." They did, so Grandma didn't have to be the cell phone police. The reactions of this young group showed me they watch much different TV than I do. Britney Spears, South Park, and The Simpsons went right by me. Not those children around me, though. The basic stories were the same. The Beatitudes, the Prodigal Son, the Great Commandment, the adulteress caught in sin, and the sheep and goats at the Last Judgment. The crucifixion and the death of Jesus were the ending. John the Baptist did his sprinkling. Judas did his evil deed. The cast was young and had a spirit of playfulness that I found refreshing. During the intermission, they signed autographs and kept at it until they were due on stage. Several players tossed beach balls with the audience during the intermission. It was not quite as personal as the one I saw years ago. It was a local crew, and one young lady knelt in front of my teenage son, Tim, and spoke to him. They had done volunteer work together at a local park. The finale was a showstopper. A group of children known as the Furman University Children's Chorus joined the cast for a glorious ending. The Jesus we last saw being carried away from the cross reappeared in what I took as the moment of the resurrection. I cannot help but compare this show with another similar rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. I've seen it on stage and in the movie version. In 30 years, Weber and Rice have not fiddled with the music. It doesn't need tinkering. Maybe Godspell does, but Superstar is superior in my taste. It was criticized, and in Greenville, posters and picketers appeared before the show. A criticism was that it showed no resurrection. If you demand a resurrection, see Godspell. It was an enjoyable afternoon. I was glad I knew the stories already, or I may have missed the point. It may be what we need to reach young people, people who are not inspired by traditional presentations of the gospel. It is worth noting that the gospel reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent was that of Luke's version of the prodigal son. Well, that's a wrap for part 5 of Love Stories. I wanted to let you know that we're going to take a 2-week break from our podcasts, and you'll hear our next episode on December 20th. In the meantime, please continue to listen to Pat's previous stories from her books, Stuck in My Own Family Tree and My Name is Fiona. You can find these stories on the website stuartbooksandpodcasts.com, or you can continue to listen on Spotify. So, our next new episode will be released on December 20th, where my younger sister Diane will provide the introduction. We can't wait to bring you the story that Pat wrote naming her 12 Days of Christmas. Spoiler alert, there are no partridges and no golden rings.